This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Back in February, we had Boston 2024 CEO Richard Davey on the show, and we asked him the obvious question. How much is hosting the Olympics going to cost taxpayers? And he said,
it's not going to cost the taxpayers of Boston anything.
And Boston 2024 has been consistently saying that for some time. More specifically, they've said that security is the only thing that would require public funding, and that would come through the federal government. But turns out, that's not what Boston 2024 told the United States Olympic Committee. The city's so-called bid book, obtained by several local media organizations, says that a public authority will be required to, quote, fund land acquisition and infrastructure costs. Kyle Klaus, digital news writer for Boston Magazine, joins us now. He was given the bid book after filing a Freedom of Information request and has taken a close look at it. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Meghna.
So first of all, tell us, the bid book is the document that the Boston 2024 gave to the USOC when it wanted to become chosen the U.S.'s city, candidate city.
Right. So this bid book is what was submitted back in December. And just a little bit how we obtained the bid book. I filed a Freedom of Information request with the University of Massachusetts back on May 7th, and we only filed that after another public records request had come through by a Boston attorney named Joel Fleming. I was looking through these emails, and it was between bid organizers and the UMass Donahue Institute. Mm-hmm. And one of the emails, actually a bunch of the emails, were talking about this bid book. How sensitive it was. It was, quote, highly confidential. There was a non-disclosure agreement included in these emails. So I could see they were being very cautious with this bid book. So, I mean, naturally, I wanted to see it. So we found our point of entry because Boston 2024 is private and,
right.
and, you know, not subject to the slings and arrows of public records requests.
And UMass is not because it's public.
Right. Right. So that we found our way in. So we filed a public records request and thankfully we were provided the bid book, both final and draft versions, thanks to the council over there, free of charge and on CD-ROM in searchable PDF. So that was actually very fortunate of us because that's not the norm
right.
as far as Massachusetts public records.
So you got it. So you got it, fortunately, because of this UMass connection.
Right.
And so how did it differ, the bid book that was submitted to the USOC versus what Boston 2024 has made public to the people of Boston?
It differs in a lot of ways. The most obvious is entire pages being omitted from the public version. Cost estimates are scrubbed out. I tweeted a picture. If you look at the page titled Finances in the Public Document, the one that's currently available on Boston 2024's website, it's about a third of a page, and it talks in very broad strokes, no numbers, how the games will be financed. But if you look at the page titled Finance in the bid book delivered to the USOC, there's numbers, it's a full page, I think there's even a picture of a swimmer. It's much more fleshed out. So there's a lot missing from this public bid book that is billed as of press time when we rolled with the story yesterday, that this is a copy of the bid book we presented to the USOC that just is not in the USOC book. Mm.
So can you tell us more specifically about this public financing part that that seems to deviate from what Boston 2024 has been saying when asked, you know, will taxpayer money be required to host the games?
Sure. I touched on this a little bit. Janet Wu did a great piece last night about it. There will be, there's mention in the bid book, the USOC bid book, that to a certain extent, at least initially, the cost of the Olympic Stadium over in Wydad Circle will be funded by the taxpayers in the beginning through bonds. And from there, it might be the money would be made back. But that's a big if, and I think Chris would would love to have at that too. Mm. But in addition, there's mention that land acquisition costs would also be covered by a public authority of some sort. Which isn't named. There's one that's mentioned, but no definite who it would be.
Okay. Now, how do you think that these revelations could affect the debate of over bringing the Olympics to Boston?
It doesn't look good. I have to say that it does not look good for the bid that they're saying one thing and doing something different. Like I said, it appears disingenuous to have one thing that you give to the folks over at the USOC and quite another thing into the thing you roll out to the public. Now, this morning on another radio station, Mayor Marty Walsh went on and said, listen, it's my signature. I will decide whether or not taxpayer funds will be used. And he very emphatically said, I will not allow taxpayer funds to be used for this. It's my signature. He kept saying my signature. But I think it's interesting that back in February, his own press person confirmed to Joan Vinoki of the Globe that he signed the bid book. And the bid book that we obtained obviously calls for taxpayer money. So you can assume one of two things. Either Mayor Walsh never read the bid book or didn't go through it very extensively, or perhaps he's not speaking. Maybe we should not take him at his word.
Right. Well, I mean, also this morning, Mayor Walsh did say that he would not allow the city to borrow money to build an Olympic stadium, but that he was open to potentially spending tax money on infrastructure improvements for the Olympics that would have a lasting effect or benefit after the games. Kyle, stand by for just a second, because
sure.
You mentioned Chris, who is Chris Dempsey, co-chair of No Boston Olympics, who joins us also in the studio. Chris, welcome to you.
Thank you, Meghna.
So first of all, just as Kyle had done last night, we too reached out to Boston 2024 for comment, and they sent us this statement from Vice President Aaron Murphy. They said that we stand by our commitment that the operations of the games and the buildings of venues will be privately funded. Many elements contained in those preliminary documents have already changed, and some will continue to change as the bid evolves, and that this preliminary bid book filed in December was proof of concept, and that the plans are being shaped and are currently ongoing. So, first of all, what's your reaction to that?
We think the only thing that this bid book proves is that the bid does not work without significant taxpayer financing. And it's a credit to Kyle for unearthing this document yesterday. It's really making clear that the Olympics were always going to be publicly funded or significantly publicly funded. And what Boston 2024 has been saying to the public at large is very different than the documents they're submitting to the USOC when they're behind closed doors.
Hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit more about what Mayor Walsh said today. I mean, we mentioned a little bit of it, but we have some more tape about this question of the potential use of city money. So let's hear what he had to say today.
It would have to be a tax revenue proposal that would benefit the city of Boston long term for increased taxes. And again, when I say that, I'm just talking about tax incentives. I'm not talking about financing.
Okay, well, what's your reaction to that? And also the bigger issue that it seems that Mayor Walsh is pointing to here, that it would have to benefit the city of Boston.
So the mayor is saying, I think, that because of the development associated with these games, the city will have increased tax revenue, and that tax revenue will be applied to helping the games get started. The problem there is that taxpayers will be at risk if the development doesn't occur as expected. In London and Vancouver, promises were made about no public dollars for their Olympic villages. And in the end, both of those cities ended up paying public dollars. In the case of London, 100% of the financing was public for the Olympic Village. So essentially, this plan is if things go great and perfectly, then there will be limited public expenditure. But if things don't go according to plan, the public is on the hook. And that's a real concern for us.
Mm. Kyle, let me turn back to you, because there's a lot of questions that are raised in this sort of unredacted version of the bid book. I'm curious to see that they took out a section that talks about the potential weaknesses of the bid. That while they talked honestly to the USOC about weaknesses, they didn't want the people of Boston to know about that.
Sure. So one of the chapters of this USOC bid book is a SWOT analysis. And basically, the USOC calls upon the potential bid city to give a flavor of your city. What is it like? What are the people like? Characteristics. And one of the elements of that analysis is titled Weaknesses and Threats. Unsurprisingly, this portion was redacted from the bid book that was presented to the public. And it goes through in a number of different things, different sources of opposition, what people might take issue with the bid. And one of the lines is something to the effect of the people of Massachusetts need a realistic education about the realistic costs of Olympic and Paralympic games. So it's almost symbolic in a way, because at one line they say that they're are committed to an open and transparent discussion about these games. But they're saying it in a page that was redacted from the bid book that was given to the public. So I think it's very symbolic in a way that, again, they're saying one thing and doing something very different.
So, Chris, your reaction to that?
I mean, I think Kyle's right. We're seeing a real difference between the different audiences they have. And this is kind of endemic to the IOC process. You know, the IOC is conducting an auction. They want cities to bid and they want to get that price as high as possible. And that's uncomfortable for the public at home. And so the bidding groups historically have said one thing to the IOC and said a different thing at home. That's why you see cost overruns. Every single Olympic game since 1960 has had a cost overrun because the bidders don't want to be honest about the true price tag of these games until after they've won the bid.
Well, let me ask you quickly. You know, in a way, I actually take Boston 2024's point from their statement when they said this is the preliminary bid book from December. They are in Switzerland right now talking to the IOC in a meeting that the IOC itself bills as a how can we help you kind of meeting. The IOC is trying to tell Boston 2024, tell us what you need from us to make the games a better deal for Boston. So, you know, why not accept the fact that maybe the details of the bid continue to evolve, perhaps in a way that could be beneficial for Boston?
One thing that's troubling is that Boston 2024 has had more than 2 years now to try to get some of the basic fundamental questions right. This is not a new organization. This is no longer a startup. They're a two-year-old organization. And they can tell you the starting date of the opening, the day of the opening ceremonies in the summer of 2024. I think they call it July 20th or something like that. They can tell you that date, but they can't tell you the basics of how they're going to build the stadium and how it's going to be financed. They've really put the cart before the horse here. They've talked all about the upside. They've shown very pretty pictures of what the stadium can be. They've put out, you know, names of athletes that approve of this bid, but they can't answer fundamental questions about who pays at the end of the day.
Kyle, did you want to jump in here?
Oh, sure. Well, one of the responses that we got from Boston 2024 was that the reason why the public bid book was scrubbed of cost estimates was because it would put us at a competitive disadvantage during the bidding process. You know, say, let's just grant that for a moment. Why then would the weaknesses and threats page be omitted from the public? I can't really think of any sort of construction company or a contractor that would see that, and it really has nothing to do with the budget.
Well, I guess I kind of have one more question for you, Chris, and it's kind of a step back question here, because in the past couple days, weeks, there have been two very interesting op-eds that have run in the Boston Globe. One was from Andrew Young, Ambassador Andrew Young, who was mayor of Atlanta when they hosted the games. And then there was one today from Dan Doktoroff, who led New York City's bid for the 2012 Olympic Games. He was also deputy mayor for economic development in New York, and he's currently a board member of the USOC, so obviously a supporter of the Olympics. But of course, New York didn't win the 2012 Games. London did. But I was interested to see that Doktoroff wrote that he says, quote, to benefit from a bid, Boston doesn't even have to win. That New York lost its bid, but the process brought the city the High Line Park, a subway extension, new stadiums, redevelopments of giant parcels of New York City's waterfront. I mean, in other words, he says great things can happen when cities marry visionary ideas with the political will to make that happen. And Boston has that opportunity now. The city doesn't even have to win, but it could make the most of the opportunity today. And what's your reaction to that?
Well, Magna, as you pointed out, Doktoroff is an interested party here. He's a member of the USOC, and part of his job is to sell this bid internationally, but also sell it to people here in Boston. So he's doing his job by writing an op-ed like that. We'd point to Chicago. Chicago's mayor purchased a property thinking that the Olympics were going to come, that Chicago taxpayers are still paying the mortgage on, and it's sitting there fallow. It's not doing anything. So there are real costs to pursuing this Olympic dream if you don't think you're going to win. We think that we would be much better off as a city focusing on what people need on a day-to-day basis. Rather than planning around a three-week party, let's focus on getting the basics right, fixing the tee, finding a way to build more affordable housing, and then continuing to invest in our people. That's what we've always done well in this city. Let's continue to invest in education, in healthcare. Those are going to be the drivers of our economy. That's the vision for our city that we need, not to plan around a three-week event.
Chris Dempsey is the co-chair of the group No Boston Olympics. Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you, Magna.
And Kyle Klaus, digital news writer for Boston Magazine. Kyle, thank you as well.
Always a pleasure.
And we've got a link to Boston Magazine's reporting on the Boston Bid Book at our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. There's more of the show in just a minute. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.